Well, good morning. Everybody have a good week this past week? I hope so. There's one no in the back, so we'll pray for him that he has a good week. Today's his birthday, so happy birthday, MJ. All right. Well, if you would turn with me to your bulletins, there is not a lot to hit on this week, but we do want to point out a few. First one being, today is the last Sunday of the month, so that means we will have our dogs and our birthday and anniversary luncheon today. So if we have any first-time visitors that are out there this morning, you are welcome to stay for lunch with us. And actually, we'll get to go to the head of the line today along with our birthday and anniversary honorees. So that is directly following service. Also, there is a quick buildings and grounds meeting directly following service. And then service tonight, we have dismissed. That way you all can spend time with family and friends in honor of Memorial Day. This week starts our convention, our church convention for the Church of the Nazarene. Starts Tuesday evening with our SDMI banquet, and then the rest of the different activities this week. NMI on Wednesday, Children's Missionary Fund Day on Thursday. So look to your bulletin for the times for each one of those. Most of the delegates already have been given that schedule, so you know when and where you're supposed to be. Also on Tuesday night, our men's softball team has a softball game at 5:45. There's going to be some players missing, so go out, show your support for them, cheer them on. We should have plenty of guys there, but we'll be missing a few of our key players. As I said, Wednesday is the SDMI convention classes, and then NMI also registration, and then Thursday, Children's Missionary Fun Day. If you have a child that is going to be going, they're planning on leaving the church at 7:15, so try to be here by 7. That way they can leave on time. Then the bus will be getting back here at the church roughly 3:15 to 4 o'clock. I know that's a little bit of a wide span, but that'll be due to traffic and whatnot. So that is all that I've got. Like I said, look to your bulletin if you're a delegate that will be going to any of the convention meetings this week for times and schedules as far as that goes. We're going to go ahead and I believe I saw real quick a Fiesef show up. And we have got a certificate of promotion. Mr. Steve, do you want to stand up? And Miss Gabby, she will be moving up. So let's give her a round of applause this morning. So, she snuck in on us, but we got her. So go ahead and stand at this time. We're going to go ahead and move forward with our service. Greet one another this morning.
I will call upon the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. exalted. The Lord liveth, the blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Each and every one of you today. It's great to have you on this Memorial Weekend. And indeed, in just a moment, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you recognize that person?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's you.
Nope, that's not me.
That's your dad.
That was my dad. Yep. He was really young then. There he is, right up there on the big screen. And he served in the military. And I'm going to ask for some help this morning from another individual who served in the military. So, Bob Davidson, if you'll come and join me here, I have a task for you. Okay? Matter of fact, while he's coming, would all of you who are here this morning who have served at any point in time in our armed forces in the military in any way, shape, form, or fashion, would you stand where you are? Thank you. Now, Mr. Davidson here served in the military, and so he knows how to handle what I'm about to share with you. And so that's why I've asked him to help me. And just for all your sakes, moms and dads, the bolts are out. The cartridges are gone. And so, indeed, Mr. Davidson, if you would take that appropriately. Do you have any idea what that is? It is a gun. Do you have any idea what kind of gun that is? That is a rifle. Do you know where that rifle came from? Japan. That rifle belonged to a Japanese serviceman that at some point in time was on the opposing side of where my father was at. And somehow that became his property. And that is a Jap 7.7 rifle. And it was not standard U.S. military issue, but it was to the enemy. And indeed, that was secured. And back in that day and time, they could send some of this stuff back home, and they indeed did. Now, obviously, they used that to fire at United States military personnel. And when they fired the round in it, and it was gone, then it was not always easy to use as a weapon unless you had the bayonet to go on it. Okay, so after you fired your round, if you were in close quarters to someone and you were still engaged in battle, the bayonet was so that indeed you could protect yourself and indeed perhaps take the life of another individual. The people that we honor today on Memorial Day are the people who gave their lives. We thank you for all of the service that our military personnel have given to us, and we indeed are grateful. My father was fortunate enough to return from the military. And Mike, if you'll hit that next picture, do any of you have any idea what that is? That is a purple heart. Do you know what that means? No, it means that person was wounded in battle. Okay? And that black box I can see very vividly in my mind because my dad used to have a box just like that with a Purple Heart in it in his drawer in his bedroom. And on occasions when he was not aware of it, I would often go in and open that drawer and lift that up and look at it. Now, then we had to close it and put it back in there because it was very special. But he indeed gathered some shrapnel in the course of his military duties as a machine gunner and received that medal. And then it was not until many years later when in this church on that platform, my father's Purple Heart somewhere got stolen. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if it was some of the kids when they came to play took it or what. We don't know, but it disappeared. And so we consulted the armed forces and asked for them to reissue his medals, which they did. And at that point in time, I did not know it before, but in the course of the paperwork and the reissue, this is what's called a Bronze Star. It is indeed the fifth highest medal that you can receive for your valor or your bravery or whatever in your time in the military forces. And my dad never talked about it. He never told us about these medals. He didn't tell us about these things. Matter of fact, we would try to get him to talk to us sometimes about things, and he would not do it. And it was only when he was about 80 years old that I videotaped him fine. I said, here's the deal. I want your grandkids to know about you and your service to your country. And so unwillingly, he sat down in front of a video camera and began to tell some stories about his life in the military. But indeed, he received that Purple Heart and that Bronze Star. Do you know what that is? That is called the Congressional Medal of Honor. That medal is the highest possible award that any military personnel can ever receive, and it's issued by the President of the United States. Very few people receive that medal. Most of the ones who receive it don't get to accept it themselves because oftentimes they've already passed away, and they received it for the bravery and the loss of life in the course of duty. But there are a few men who are still alive who indeed wear that particular medal around their neck at special occasions and who have served their country in that great way. I want to read you a verse out of the Bible. 1 John 3:16 says this. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And finally, when I talked to my father when he was in his 80s, he finally began to tell me about some of the stories of people around him who lost their lives, people from around his part of the country, people that served together with him, people that he didn't know, some that he knew, indeed, that gave their lives that we could sit here today and worship the Lord the way that we want to. And so today we want you to understand that Memorial Day is more than family get-togethers. It's more than barbecues. It's about stopping and pausing to remember, indeed, the lives of these men. And it used to always be on the 30th of May. Whatever day the 30th of May was on, that's the day this observance was. But now, in 1971, Congress decided to make a lot of holidays fall on Monday so people could have long weekends. And in the course of that, a lot of them have forgotten what the holidays are really for. And they've turned them into family gatherings And I'm ashamed to say that oftentimes when they have ceremonies in these towns to honor these fellows, very few people show up. So I hope that you'll take time to remember that all the things that you enjoy, all the things that you have in this country and all the freedoms that you have, ask your parents about it, ask your grandparents about it, and they'll be able to share some things with you indeed, because there were people who were on the wrong end of this bayonet or these bullets, and they gave their lives that you could sit here in this church today and worship God.
However you choose.
So remember them and be thankful, okay? Love you guys. We're glad you're here today. You can go back and be with your parents now.
Good morning. I wanted to share some things with you that I have been reading about this week, how the Church of the Nazarene has been responding to the tornadoes in Oklahoma. A couple of things that I think will just kind of be encouraging to know that even though, you know, we see lots of things on the news, it's good to know what our fellow Church of the Nazarene is doing along with lots of other good people and Christians out there. Our churches, as we have expected, have responded overwhelmingly, both in manpower and resources, says the Oklahoma District Superintendent. We have been receiving calls from Maryland to California. Through the support of Nazarenes around the world, repairs began early at the Moore Church of the Nazarene. Volunteers are working so that the church can hold services this Sunday, and I'll be anxious to hear if they were able to do that today or not. One of the things that they talked about that, you know, we continue to hear stories of how people have survived or what they went through, and a medic from the Oklahoma City Trinity Church of the Nazarene was one who helped pull children from the Plaza Towers Elementary School. A Nazarene pastor's wife sustained injuries as she shielded children at an elementary school, and she's now recovering at home. It is so heartening to have people who will put aside all kinds of things and join together because they believe that people matter. They are motivated by this deep down longing to see the church be valuable in society and to be seen as the people we truly are, people who are accepting and really care. And I think that's what all of us really desire in our heart. We want the world to know that we do care and we do love and we want to be valuable to them in society. We have focused on helping the Kearney Church and the Shawnee Church a great deal because those are areas that we can actually address. We can actually get in and do some things. We are going in and cleaning up debris and cutting down trees, getting everything ready to start to rebuild and to clean everything out for them. At the Thorn Creek Church of the Nazarene in Colorado, they started a furniture drive, a furniture and monetary donation. And they have a furniture store there who donated a semi-truck, a driver, and gas to take the furniture to Moore, Oklahoma for donation. Southern Nazarene University, which is our Nazarene University in Oklahoma, collected plastic storage tubs for people to have to salvage their belongings and gift cards in small amounts for companies locally to help them get back on their feet, to get the things that they needed to start their cleanup. And Abby Feltner, a member of the Olathe Church of the Nazarene, collected 3 box trucks worth of supplies to send to Oklahoma. So these are just some of the things that I learned of this week and how Nazarenes are helping in that situation. Continue to pray for them as we are all very well know after what we saw in Joplin. This is going to be a long, long process for them, a long cleaning up, and lots of prayers are going to be needed.
Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing that with us. The Joplin District is in the process right now of putting together crisis care kits. And so anyone who might have the ability to help us with crisis care kits, they won't help right now with this crisis, but there are crisis care kits on the way from the central location on a truck. We distributed 4,000 of those care kits in Joplin in one day. So prepare and do what you can do to help us with those crisis care kits. Also, we have a team from the Joplin District who intends to be down in Oklahoma City next Monday to help with some of this work. If things work out right, I'll be a part of that, and we have some others that are interested in going. So if you are interested, why, let me know. Yes?
If they want to give to this, they can put it on their check and simply memo the check for more, and then we will send one church check.
Okay.
I think they're gathering offering at District Assembly this week as well.
Okay. Did everybody hear that? Pastor said if you would put on your check, would like to give and put on your check, just put notate Moore, Oklahoma, and they will be taking an offering at District Assembly this week for to contribute to that crisis there. If you haven't seen that kind of devastation or been there personally when that kind of devastation takes place, you don't know When I looked at Joplin, Missouri, I could not believe it. When I looked at Moore, Oklahoma, I could not believe it. But we who are brothers and sisters in Christ need to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight this battle and stand in the gap and do our part. Okay, I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Our Heavenly Father, as we think of this memorial weekend, we think of your Son dying on the cross for
yes.
each one of us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Your precious holy name, take this offering, break it, use it. Give us wisdom and the guidance, and we give you the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read together.
I am convinced
that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child strong.
Who will remember the lives of those who have been surrendered to protect our freedoms. We also want to be mindful of the requests that are within our bulletin. We want to be praying for the ongoing cleanup at Moore, Oklahoma, and the surrounding areas, families that may have been affected in other ways. And we'll be giving you information as soon as we receive it to the memorial service for Adrian Carlson. My understanding is that Don and Joanne traveled on to California, which was the intended destination, to meet some relatives and friends, and then they'll be returning home and making those final decisions about dates, and we'll keep you informed as we find out about those things. And so, indeed, today is a special day, and not only is it a time to remember those who indeed have given their lives in war, but it has become a day for us to remember those who have gone on before us that are related to us in any way. And so I'm sure that as we stand here today, as we come to this time of prayer, that you are mindful of those who have gone on ahead of you. And you are thankful for their lives, and indeed we are grateful for them as well. These altars are open to you this morning as we sing together. If you have need of a place of prayer, whether it be to lift up praise, or to release and lay down a burden, you feel free to come. No one will come to you. It'll just be your private place of prayer. Then we'll lift our voices together to the throne room of God.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
As we come to you this morning, we come with grateful hearts, with thanksgiving. Places in the scripture that you incited us to remember various things. Indeed, you said to do things in remembrance of you. And so, Father, today, first and foremost, we are grateful that you gave your life. We thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to indwell, abide with us, to give us guidance and direction. We thank you, God, for your word. We are grateful for the blessings of life. And indeed, today, we are grateful for those who have given their lives in the preservation of freedom, keeping America as we know it. And Father, certainly as we think of our country today, we have concerns. We pray for our president that you would grant to him wisdom and direction. Lord, we realize that just like in many other facets of life, that there are people that we don't necessarily agree with 100%, but from their perspective, they're trying to do the best that they know to do. And so, Father, we pray that you would impart to them wisdom, that you would open their eyes and that they would see what you want them to see and indeed to lead, guide, and direct. Bless our Congress. And Lord, we pray for our state government and for our local city leadership, that indeed that you would help these folks, Lord, who try to give leadership and give us the best quality of life that they can, Father, that you would watch over them. And Lord, when we would maybe be of a mind to be critical, perhaps the best thing we can do is pray. We respect each one's opinion. Lord, sometimes what we need is you. And if we could all realize that, I think we maybe would be in a better direction. So, Father, we want to remain a country that in God we trust. We want to be grateful for those who have served and given. Father, we want to thank you today for all that you do for us and all that you have done to provide for us the opportunity for a home in heaven, for eternal life with you, and for a better life while we're here, and to live in such a way as to make life better for those around us. So, Father, we are blessed by you today. We know that. We're blessed as a nation. We thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that you would just continue to touch, to lead, to guide, and direct, to bless, and be with those that are traveling this weekend. Be with family gatherings that will perhaps take place or have already taken place at the cemeteries around the country. Remembrances that will go. May we treasure the lives of those who have impacted us. And we will give you praise for it all as we treasure you most of all. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, and all God's people said, amen.
When your world is crashing in and you don't know what to do, you can call on God. He will see you through. There is no way we can lose, knowing we can trust Him in all. God is still God. His strength will never fail. All is well. All is well. Hold on to the promise that is forever true. cast your care on him, because he cares for you. Time and again, he has proved his grace is sufficient, his mercy's ever new. All is well, all is well. When storms come, we can say, all is well. God is still God, his strength will never fail. All is well, all is well. Let not your heart be troubled. Your life is in his hands. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
I have a number of things that are running through my mind this morning as I think of how God would have us to go through this service. And there is a point today where I will ask you to physically do something. And I want to give you advance notice because I want you to have some time to think about it. But I'm cautious to do that because then you'll be thinking about that and not paying any attention to what I'm saying whatsoever. Which may not do anything new, maybe, I don't know. But at any rate, Memorial Day is a significant event, and so easily it's starting to get away from what it was all about. But a thing that has happened in our culture is the recognition of those that have value to our life, whether they served in the military or not. And that's part of Memorial Day, is remembering our families and friends. And so at one point in the sermon today, I'm going to ask you to become part of the sermon. And what I want you to do is to think about two different sets of people. I want you to think about those people who have impacted your life, and some of those people may no longer be alive. They may not be with us. Particularly if you're here and you have parents who have impacted your life and have the opportunity to do so, I'm going to ask you at some point to get up. And I'm going to give you a period of time to go to those people and to just express appreciation. Now, I don't want this to become like greeting time, okay, because it's not for that purpose. It is a specifically designed purpose. I want it done reverently and concisely, because it's not the end of the sermon. And so we want to give you an appropriate manner of time to respond, but we want to be conscious that we are being a part of what God is doing in our midst. The other thing is that oftentimes we are away from our parents, and indeed our people who have impacted our lives have been gone for a long period of time, and not only do we want to remember those folks, but there may very well be some people who are present here who aren't your parents maybe a specific relative, but indeed have been an example to you or have had impact on your life. And I want you to have the opportunity to speak to them briefly for a moment and express appreciation. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity as part of this sermon time this morning. And so you can be thinking about that. But I want it to be a relatively reverent, quiet moment. I don't want us to get rambunctious like when we're running around trying to greet. But to keep the sense of the moment. Because today is a day of remembrance and honor. It is a time to appreciate what has been done for us. If you have your Bibles this morning and want to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And indeed, in your bulletins, the sermon notes are there as far as scripture references and things if you need to catch up with those or be in advance of them. That information is there. They say third time's charm. This is the third week in a row we've been able to accomplish that. And so we're trying to get that information to you for your benefit along the way. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And the portion that I want to capture this morning is the honoring of one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Memorial Day has come to mean a lot of things to a lot of people. For some people, if we're not careful, because the way our culture operates sometimes, it's just become a family gathering day. All of the ad flyers give you hamburger meat on sale, and indeed the soda pop and all kinds of things that will be a part of your gatherings, your chips and all those kinds of things. And we spend a lot of time planning specifically those gatherings and barbecues and all those kinds of things. How much time do we spend planning to honor those that Memorial Day was intended to honor? I read to you from those persons who record history. Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. There are many stories as to its actual beginnings, with over two dozen cities and towns laying claim to being the birthplace of Memorial Day. There's also evidence that organized women's groups in the South were decorating graves before the end of the Civil War. A hymn published in 1867, "Kneel Where Our Loves Are Sleeping," by Nella L. Sweet, carried the dedication to the ladies of the South who are decorating the graves of the Confederate dead. In April 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating graves of her two sons who died representing their beloved Southland, an elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place memorial flowers there also. "What are you doing?" friends shouted. "Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." Softly, that compassionate mother said, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do ours." That loving deed set in motion our celebration, which has become known as Memorial Day. And we honor the war dead once a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. While Waterloo, New York was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May of 1966, it's difficult to prove conclusively the origins of the day. It is more likely that it had many separate beginnings. Each of those towns and every planned or spontaneous gathering of people to honor the war dead in the 1860s tapped into the general human need to honor our dead. Each contributed honorably to the growing movement that culminated in General Logan giving his official proclamation in 1868. It is not important who was the very first. What is important is that Memorial Day was established. Memorial Day is not about division. It's about reconciliation. It's about coming together to honor those who gave their all. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, the National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order No. 11, and was first observed on the 30th of May, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. It is now celebrated in almost every state on the last Monday in May, passed by Congress with the National Holiday Act of 1971 to ensure a three-day weekend. though several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate war dead, January 19th in Texas, April 26th in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, May 10th in South Carolina, and June 3rd, which is Jefferson Davis's birthday, in Louisiana and Tennessee. So there are many different types of observances in many different places, but indeed it is a point in a time that we all acknowledge that it is beneficial for us to honor those who gave their lives in a cause that they believe to protect freedom and the values that they hold true as Americans. I want us to think about that this morning, but also want us to think about all of the observances that should be a part of Memorial Day, with honor being defined as regarding with respect or distinction. And so there are two or three groups this morning that I would acknowledge that I think we need to be making a part of our Memorial Day remembrances. First and foremost, as the holiday has been set aside, that we honor those who died fighting for our freedoms. I remind you that in the Scriptures it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die." And then I remind you of what I read to the children in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, where indeed the word challenges us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And indeed, that certainly has taken place. Matter of fact, I did just a little bit of research, and in the Revolutionary War, 25,324 men gave their lives for the American cause. In the Civil War, the war between the North and the South, 498,332 men lost their lives. It is still the largest casualty list of any war of all time. World War I, 116,710 Americans lost their lives for the cause. In World War II, 407,316 men and women gave their lives. In the Korean War, 54,546. In the Vietnam War, 58,098. In the First Gulf War, 293 gave their life. And in the Iraqi War, 4,486. So it seems that we are getting better at protecting our men when they go into the battle. But those battles waged for different periods of time and different stages of warfare, and at any cost, one life is too many. And we are grateful and thankful, because we know that with war, there comes casualty. And so we want to honor, as we should in the spirit, those who have given their lives. So Mike, if you would.
Sandy Kane, few folks even knew his name, but a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man, still many just don't understand about the reasons we are. Can't forget the look in his eyes, or the tears he cried, as he said these words to me. All gave some gave all. Some gave all. Cain is no longer here, but his words are also clear. They echo throughout our land. For all his friends who gave us all, who stood the ground and took the fall to help their fellow man. Love your country and live with pride, and don't forget those who died. America, can't you see? All gave some, and some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Yes, recall.
And so while we may not know their faces, we may not recognize their names, we honor those. And I don't know about you, but as I go to the cemetery to honor my loved ones, and I pass one of those flags or one of those grave markers where there's a flag that's been placed, I'm reminded that that was a life that was significant to many people. Indeed, perhaps what I enjoy today came about as the giving of that person's life. And so we want to honor, we don't want to forget, we always want to remember those who have served and were lost their life in the military, but not only those, but those who, as they have lived out, returned home a full life, that we honor them for their time of service, as we have tried to do in recognition of those of you who have served here this morning, to honor those who have died in the fight or have fought for our freedoms. The second group is to honor those this morning who have contributed to our life. I want to read just some scriptural admonition to you here this morning that speaks about how we should respond to others in our life. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Leviticus chapter 19, in verse 32, rise in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. And then we turn in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching. And so I remind you to think of all of those people in your life, your parents, to think of those who have lived an example before you, grandparents, or perhaps there are other older people in your church that indeed have been an example to you and have given you some guidance and perspective on life that has been helpful. And indeed, to give honor to those who do the teaching in the church. So many of you have had Sunday school teachers that have impacted your life. You have had various youth workers that have impacted your life, and hopefully you've had some pastors along the way who have indeed impacted your life with the teachings of the Word of God. And we need to give these people their due. And so sometimes just a phone call to say, hey, that was a really great Sunday school lesson this week. I really enjoyed that. I was blessed by that, ministered to. Thanks for helping me see that part of the Word of God that maybe I'd never recognized before. To speak to those people who have had impact on you from out of the pew, people that you have heard testify, and you realize that if they can make it, if they can get through those situations, that indeed you can get through those situations as well. Those people who are your parents or your relatives that have loved you and spent a lot of time with you, indeed, they are worthy of our honor, and we need to give them their due. And a lot of times there are those people who have already passed on, and we can't go to them and give them a hug or say thank you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But what you can do is to continue the legacy that they have given to you by taking the things that they taught you or the things you learned from them and to live out those things before others, to teach others those principles and those things that have helped to bring success and value into your life. And you can honor those folks who are no longer here by doing that. But I believe, and probably through my life to this point, one of the greatest things that I see and I become aware of maybe at Memorial more than any other time is the number of people who will take flowers with the best of intentions and place on the grave of somebody, and I see people weep. Sometimes they're tears because they miss people. But a lot of times it's tears because of something that's unfinished business. Something that should have been said that wasn't said. Something that should have been done that wasn't done. And I think the greatest travesty that can happen is to have to go through the rest of our life putting flowers on people's graves and thinking to ourselves, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I remind you of a couple of passages of Scripture in the book of Proverbs this morning that speaks to the value of saying kind things to other people. In Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And then in Proverbs 16, 24, it says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I just want to invite all of you to stand with me at this moment in time, quietly and reverently. And if there is someone here this morning, first of all, let me just really emphasize this to our young people. If your parents are here this morning, whether you just had an argument with them this morning or not, or whether you disagree with what they're trying to tell you, I don't care. They have provided for you, and they are worthy of your respect, and they are due your appreciation. And I'm going to say to you this morning, if you are here and your parents are here, go to them and tell them thanks and tell them that you love them, even if you don't always agree with them. And appreciate them. And again, let's keep this in a spirit of reverence. But then when you have done that, indeed, if there's someone here that has significant impact on your life, that has been an example to you, maybe your parents are gone, maybe you live far away from all of your family, and there's people here that have become family to you. Take a moment and make the effort to go to them. And don't just think, well, they probably know. But take the time in this moment, on this Memorial Day observance on Sunday, take the time to go to them if they're here and simply say, thank you, I appreciate you and all that you have done and meant to me. And so just do that in a quiet, reverent spirit. If you know who that person is, go to them and tell them this morning as I give you just a few moments to do that, and then we'll come to the conclusion of this message this morning.
Love you.
Love you too.
You guys are special. Thanks for being my partners in ministry. Thanks for treating me like your own. thank you for taking time to say those kind words. And I would encourage you that if you didn't get to speak to maybe everyone you wanted to speak to, that even though, and you may be seated, over the course of the next few days or whatever, take the time just to find these folks and to express those words. I know that it feels good to tell people that you love them, and it sure feels good to have somebody come and tell you that they love you and appreciate you. And so I believe that the Word of God is very, very strong about this, that we need to take those opportunities to express that love and to share those things. And so I encourage you to do so. Because it's always a rough day when you stand somewhere looking at a piece of stone on a piece of ground and think, I wish I'd have said, I wish I'd have done. And so take the time to appreciate, to love one another, and to honor those who have had a positive impact on your life. And then finally this morning, I want to say to you that first and foremost, you know, our nation is founded on the motto of In God We Trust. And if we're going to talk about wars and we're going to talk about lives that were sacrificed, we would be amiss this morning if we did not stop and realize that there was indeed a war in heaven, and that Lucifer and his angels that sided with him were cast out of heaven, that indeed God, in trying to deal with his creation and its sinfulness and its wickedness and its disobedience it inherited from Adam and Eve, providing a way of reconciliation for them, that there has from that time on been a war in the heavenlies between good and evil. And indeed, we know who the winner is. That's the good news. And that Jesus Christ surrendered his life. Let me just give you a few words from the scripture this morning as I read to you from Psalms chapter 77. Verses 11 and 12, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your mighty works and consider all your mighty deeds. We honor God by remembering all that he has done and who he is and what he is. And then I read to you from the book of Mark this morning, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We're reminded in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we're reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And so as we find out that there is no greater love than to lay down our life for our brothers, we are appreciative this morning of those people who surrendered their lives on the field of battle because they believed in God, because they believed in their country and its values, because they loved their families. And so they believed in what they were doing and why they were doing it, and they went to honor those and to protect those that they loved and cared about. We also honor God this morning for loving us so much that he sent his Son Jesus, that we might have forgiveness of sins, that we might have the gift of eternal life, that we might have the presence of his Holy Spirit for leadership and guidance and direction. And you know, when we think about these people that we honor specifically on Memorial Day, we think about their value to us and the things that they have said to us. As we go from this place today, let's respond to our memory of others in the way that we hope people will remember us when we're gone. I don't know about you, but when my time comes, when my life on this earth is ended, I hope that there'll be somebody, if Jesus hasn't come and it's not possible. But I hope at that memorial service there will be somebody who will say that life mattered. That I'm appreciative for my time interacting with that person. That indeed there will be something of a contribution left behind that's worth remembering or speaking of or telling someone else about. I will go this afternoon when I leave this place, and I will go to the cemetery where I will honor my father. I'll step by the graveside of my grandparents, some who I never met in this life, but have been told stories about. And nearly every relative that I have that has passed on is located in one place. And I will be thankful for my Christian heritage. And I will be thankful for the family that I still have here with me that I enjoy fellowship with. But I will remember all of the great times that I experienced with those who have gone on already. And I will think about the things that they taught me. My Grandma Ruby and my dad. The impact that they had on my life. I have in my life the story. You know, there's a Charles Dickens book that's written, A Tale of Two Cities. Well, I would close this morning by telling you the tale of two Minnies. I have two great Aunt Minnies. One of them was a very wealthy lady. She and her husband were very prosperous. They spent a lot of time in business. They never had time to have children. They were always busy. And she moved into a house beside my grandmother Ruby, which my dad built for the both of them side by side. And she was able to afford virtually anything she wanted. And when she died, she included in her will a notice for one of my uncles to go. And she pays for it. She pays for the flowers. She pays for the remembrance. She pays. But it's as the executor of that particular aspect of her will, one of my uncles goes to make sure that she's remembered. It was written out in her will that way, and it's been going on for years. And then at the top of the hill, from where I was born, was my other great Aunt Minnie. Most of the time, she just had enough money to get by if she had that much. And in that old green asphalt-sided house with a tin roof and a porch that I never quite got tall enough, but I always thought I might get tall enough to where I could bump my head on it when I went through, in which there were switches stored in the rafters in case she needed them to help anyone along, was a home full of love. My Uncle Walter and my Aunt Minnie used to give us Kennedy half dollars for Christmas every year, and I knew that was a great sacrifice. My Uncle Walter loved to make candy, and he would make all kinds of great candy while we were kids growing up. And we went there every morning to meet the school bus. The school bus would not come to where our house was at. And we walked up the hill, and we met the school bus every morning growing up at Aunt Minnie's house. And she always had the door open. She always had a place for us. When my parents weren't home, we stopped there until they came home in the evening. She didn't have a lot of stuff. But she loved Jesus, and she loved us. And she didn't have to pay anybody to remember her. She didn't have to pay anybody to appreciate her. And there are plenty of people who speak kindly and often of her now whenever we pass through and have remembrance with each other. I pray that you'll live your life in such a way. And I'm convinced that the way to do this first and foremost is to put Christ first in your life. Let the God who gave his life for you through his son Jesus lead, guide, and direct your life. And I believe that you will live your life in such a way as you won't have to pay people to remember you. Because the love and the kindness that you share will go far beyond you and your years. As you remember today, live your life to be remembered in the way that you remember those others. Would you stand with me? I thank you so much for coming today. I know many of you will probably be departing very quickly. Some of you may be going to cemeteries today as I will, but we indeed have a dinner here for you today, our dog's dinner, and that is indeed to honor our first-time guests and also to honor the birthdays and anniversaries of some folks who are here today. And so these folks, if you're able to stay, are invited to go to the head of the line in honor of the birthdays of Steve Beechler, Gabby Fieseth, Brian Smith, Phyllis Hahn, Cheryl Oaf. Now I'm beginning to realize why all these people are here. Ashley Swearingen, Sean Falconer, Jennifer Swearingen, Karen Smith, MJ Willard, and Don Brandstein, and Pat Stevens. So there's a lot of people at the head of the line. And our anniversary guests are not here today, but we encourage you, we honor you today. We like to give notation of your day of birth. And if you're able to stay with us, we encourage you to go to the head of the line and fellowship with us today. And if you go, we know it's the holiday. We know some of you have family with you. And if you have to go, just know that indeed we pray that you'll have a very special time together with your family and as you go to remember those loved ones who have gone on before you. Pastor Don, if you would, pray a closing prayer for us, please.